All right. Good morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing? Okay. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Man, we're at church this morning. We got the privilege and the opportunity to be here and to worship and to sing praise and open up scripture. So we should be stoked. We should be thankful to be here with our family. So I'm excited to be back. I missed you guys a great deal while I was out. I very much enjoyed my time off with my family. We went to Myrtle Beach and really just kind of relaxed, and we don't do that too often, so it was very nice. But I'm thankful to know that while I go out and do that, I have great people like Pastor Ken and Daniel to speak and to make sure things are moving forward and that we're staying on mission. So I'm very thankful for that, but I'm also very thankful to have some time off. Most importantly, it's great to be back. I really miss you all, and I'm excited to be back. So, today, we are kicking off a new message series for the holidays. You know, we got Christmas, you know, the first Sunday of December. I love Christmas. It's a great time of year. It's great with family. But most importantly, man, it represents one of the greatest events in history with the birth of Christ, leading to the greatest event of him dying and rising again for us. It's just such a beautiful beginning and end to a story, and I'm so thankful for it, and I love how we're reminded about that throughout Christmas. And so what we're doing for the month of December, for the next 4 weeks leading into Christmas, is we're doing a message series called Carols. And what we're going to be doing during this series, we're going to check out four very well-known Christmas carols, and we're going to kind of work through them all the way up till Christmas. And next week, we're going to cover the Christmas carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, Away in a Manger, the next week after that. And then on Christmas Eve, we will cover Emmanuel. Today, we're going to kick things off with what I would say is many people's favorite Christmas carol. It's my personal favorite Christmas carol, as well as my wife's. And it's the song that Mike just led us in. It was O Holy Night. And what a beautiful, beautiful song. So we're going to kind of talk about that. Then we're going to dive into some scripture and look and kind of break some of the lyrics down. Specifically, we're going to focus on a couple phrases from that song. That's what we're going to do in this series. But as we kick this thing off today, I want to begin by giving you a little bit of history about the song, O Holy Night. In the mid-1800s, there was this parish priest who approached a local poet named Placide Capot. Hopefully I said that right. And he asked this poet to write a poem to Luke 2. And so he did that. And as the result of that was the song that we now know as O Holy Night. What's interesting about this, though, is that not only was Placide a poet, but he was also a wine and spirit merchant. He was also an avowed atheist, which is very interesting to me that, one, that this priest asked him to write this poem, but also that he accepted that task. And so he wrote this poem, and he loved it so much that he actually reached out to one of his friends to put music to it, who also was not a follower of Christ. And honestly, the rest is history. And so we have the song, O Holy Night, based off that. And it just blew up in the church. I mean, they were singing it in every church during that time. And then suddenly people realized, like, who wrote this song? Like, who wrote the poem? And they're like, yo, we got to get this kind of out of the church. We can't be singing this guy's song because, you know, he's not a Christ follower. But by that time, it was way too late. People had just loved this beautiful song, just as we do today. Another interesting fact about O Holy Night was it was the very first song ever broadcasted over the radio. The very first song ever to be broadcasted over the radio. On Christmas Eve of 1906, a man named Reginald Fessenden did what people thought was impossible. And he took words and music and broadcasted it over the AM radio. And when he figured out how to do this, he chose the song, O Holy Night. He used a violin, and they played it. It's the very first song over AM radio, which is super interesting to me. I began to like research a little bit of this and watched some videos on you know the radio and broadcasting of that. Me and my son Sawyer were intrigued by it, but it's just very very interesting in the history of this beautiful Christmas carol, where it talks about that night, oh holy night, the night when Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, was born. Such a beautiful, beautiful carol. And I can only imagine, like when I sit back and think about what that night when Jesus was born was like. I mean, I can only imagine what it would have been like. Probably like that, with some screaming babies, right? I can say that. That's my niece, so it's okay. But I can only imagine what that night was like. And as we start to think about that, a lot of times we begin to visualize and think about the manger scene, right? Like we, you know, my family, we put up our Christmas decorations this week, put up the Christmas tree, then we put up our manger scene, which Jen loves, which I feel indifferent about. It's a willow tree set. I don't know if those things are these like wooden carved out statues with no faces. It just creeps me out a little bit, but it's a beautiful manger scene. It's beautiful because of what it represents. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. But in reality, when you think about that night, outside of that manger scene, I'd have to think that it wasn't so peaceful and sweet. When you really break it down and look at it, yes, the fact that Jesus was born is incredible and is beautiful, but it wasn't a calm, sweet, beautiful night. I mean, when you think about it, you've got Mary, who was this virgin teenage girl who was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, which is a whole nother conversation, but she's pregnant, she's a teenager, and likely her fiance Joseph is a teenager as well, and they're traveling on the back of a donkey for miles, right? 9 months pregnant, I mean, she's pregnant, and traveling on the back of a donkey for like 80 to 120 miles. I mean, this was a long, long journey. When my wife was in labor with Sawyer, we had to travel 17 miles by way of a 2008 Mazda 5 down the Waterston Expressway, and that was chaotic and stressful enough for me, so I can't imagine the back of a donkey, right? I just can't imagine that. Then they come into town, and then they get there, and there's no room, right? We know the story. There's no room in the inn. So where do they go? They go to a stable, which is most likely a cave. Most scholars believe this was just like a cave where they would take the cattle for shelter when they needed shelter. So it's this dark, dirty, just not a very sterile place to give birth. But this is where the Messiah was born. So you have this dark cave, animals. You know, you have all this going on. Unsterile environment, no epidural. So she's probably in massive amount of pain. Maybe even screaming. I don't know. I know that my wife had both of our children natural with no epidural. So she's a champ. I can never complain about anything for the rest of my life. But I cannot... I've seen how intense that is. I've seen how serious that is. And this young teenage girl gave birth basically in a dark cave. So, yes, it's beautiful because of what it represents. But to describe it as a peaceful night, it was probably not the case. It was intense. It was sure it was a long night in that cave. When the Son of God was born. But back to this carol, to this song, O Holy Night, there's a phrase that I specifically want us to focus in on this morning. And it's the phrase, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Such beautiful words. But there's a lot in that phrase. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And if there's two words right now that I think would accurately describe our world today, it's a weary world. It's a weary world right now. There's a lot going on. I mean, there's constant tension, constant friction, hate, disagreement, incredible division, right? We have vile treatment of other human beings. We have that going on. Families are tanking. Poverty is running rampant. Seems like every other person is being diagnosed with some major critical illness. The world is a weary place right now. Sometimes it feels like we're just fighting day in and day out to keep our heads above water. I don't know if you feel that way, but I feel that way sometimes. It's a weary world. So I believe it's safe to say that many of us, if not all of us today, can easily relate to the phrase, a weary world. The weary world. But what I love about this song is that it also says there's a thrill of hope. I mean, even just saying that gives me cold chills. A thrill of hope. A thrill of hope. Just imagine, again, the chaos of that night in that cave. And how intense that was. But it says that there was a thrill of hope. Hope that just maybe this was it. That this was it. You see, for centuries, those who had put their faith in God had hoped that one day the Messiah would come, that the Messiah would be born. And on that day, everything would change. Everything would be different. For all eternity, it would be that tipping point. It would change. And they had faith for a thrill of hope. There was a thrill of hope. And as a result, what does the weary world do? It rejoices. That weary world rejoices because there was a thrill of hope. And if there's any weary world in you today, man, my hope and my prayer is that God will use our time today, that he will speak to you, and he'll help you to reveal that there really, truly is a thrill of hope, that you have a thrill of hope, and that you can have the faith to rejoice, even in your weary world. That there's hope and there's a reason to rejoice. Because even in the chaos of the night, there's always a new and glorious morn. A new and glorious morning. A Savior has been born. And that's reason to hope. It's reason to rejoice, regardless of the world around you. That's reason to rejoice. Because a day with Christ can change everything. It can change everything. So with that being said, I want us to specifically focus in on a new and glorious morning. A new and glorious morning. So, and to help us to look through this, I want us obviously to, we're always going to jump into Scripture. We're always going to look at Scripture, right? And so we're going to look today in the Old Testament book of Lamentations. And before we read that, I want to give you a little bit of context about this book. It was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and he penned these words shortly after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. So when Jerusalem fell, the people were obviously distraught, right? And Jeremiah was right there with them. I mean, he was heartbroken. He was devastated by the fall. And as a result, he pours his heart out into this text. As you read the first two chapters into half of the third chapter, I mean, it is sorrow. I mean, this, you could feel his broken heart. But then in chapter 3, about midway through, there's this shift, right? He moves from lamenting to mourning to a moment of faith, a moment of hope, a reason to rejoice. We see that shift. So Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to start out in verse 19. We're going to kind of see this shift right here. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. I mean, this dude is, he's owning what's going on. He's not sugarcoating anything. I mean, he's going through some extremely, extremely difficult things, and he's laying it all out there. But then he goes on to say in verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He says, this I call to mind. Note that he's saying, as he's calling this to mind, he's basically saying that he knows this, right? He knows the truth, but it's not in the front of his mind right now because he's got that weary world around him that's kind of clouding that vision. So he's got to call it to the front of his mind. And when he does that, he has hope, right? He says, yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He then starts praising God. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord's compassions never fail. Another version says, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. A new and glorious morning, right? I mean, that's the hope that we have of a new and glorious morning. So what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning is using this passage of scripture, I want to show you three truths that can and will bring a thrill of hope within you. That will bring that thrill of hope when you seem to be drowning in this weary world. Three truths from scripture. And the first one I want you to see is that a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. A new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. Now understand and hear me, I didn't say that it brings what you want, right? Because what we need and what we want are many times two different things. We say that in my house a lot, like, do you need this or do you just want this? I say that to my kids a lot. I'm not gonna say who else I say that to a lot. But is this a need or is this a want? Because our needs and our wants many times are different. And a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Lamentations 3, verse 24 says, I say to myself, and I think that's interesting right there, just to hang there, that I say to myself. I mean, how many times do you need to kind of talk to yourself? Remind yourself of some things, you know, drop some knowledge to yourself. Read scripture, you know, remind yourself of God's truth, and then start preaching to yourself, right? We need that. You need to be able to do that. He said, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is my portion, right? So what exactly does that mean? The Lord is my portion. Look, it means a lot of things, but what, again, most scholars believe that this is likely referring back to when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, right? And God was providing for them daily, right? He was providing them with manna, food. It was their daily portion. And every day when they woke up, God would give them exactly enough food to sustain them for that day. He was their portion. He took care of them. He knew their needs. He provided their every need. That's what he was revealing to them. Even if they tried to store up the food and save it, it would just rot. Because they needed to have faith and trust that he was going to be there the next day and provide for them. He was their portion. The Lord is my portion. In the New Testament, when Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said what? Give us this day our... Exactly. Give us this day our daily bread. We need him daily. He's our daily portion. We need him every single day. And so I'm going to call this to mind and say to myself that the Lord, he's my portion. He's going to take care of everything I need. He's got me. He's got my back. He's going to provide for me. He is exactly what I need. Man, if you're in that weary world right now, the good news is that God is already in tomorrow. Regardless of what's coming, he's there. And he knows what you need, and he's got you. He's going to take care of it. He's going to provide for us everything that we need. So therefore, if for some reason, if your marriage is struggling, right? If you're going through it and you're just struggling, understand that God is in tomorrow. He knows what you need. And he's there for you. And he is what you need, what your marriage needs. I mean, if you're weak today, if you're struggling, God is in tomorrow. And remember that in your weakness, he's made perfect. In your weakness, his strength is made perfect. Man, if you're down and depressed today and you're just struggling, he's in tomorrow. So hang on. He's got you. He's got everything and will take care of everything you need. He is your portion. Man, he's your comfort. He's your peace. He's your joy. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. A new day with Christ. A new and glorious morn. It's his presence, right? His strength, his mercy, his love, his grace, his goodness provide everything you need. Therefore, I'll say the Lord is my portion, and I'll wait for him. I'll wait for him because he's my portion, because a new day with Christ brings us exactly what we need. The second truth that we find in this passage of Scripture is that a new day with Christ brings the hope to keep going. If he provides everything we need, then a new day with Christ will provide the hope to keep going, to keep moving forward. It's a thrill of hope, right? A thrill of hope that allows us to rejoice when there's a weary world around us. He's that thrill of hope. It's the belief that there's a new day coming, right? That the sun will rise and there's a new day. Even in the middle of the darkness, even when it's chaos in the middle of the night, there's a new day coming. The sun will rise and a new day with Christ will bring you the hope to keep going. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." He's good to those whose hope is in him. I heard someone once say that people can live 40 days without food, about 40 days without food, 8 days without water. We can live 4 minutes or so without oxygen, but we can only live a few seconds without hope. Man, we've got to have hope. Hope is critical. We have to have hope. And he is our hope. Our hope is in him. But I believe there are far too many people today that are trying to survive and operate through life with a very hope-deprived life. There's no hope. Or if there is hope, they're trying to place their hope in all the wrong places. Right? I've been guilty of that myself. You know, sometimes we find ourselves trying to place our hope maybe in our jobs, right, or in our company or whatever it may be. And trust me, they can let you down. Can let you down. Sometimes we find ourselves placing our hope in other people, right? Other humans. But man, humans are flawed. We are flawed. We are sinful. Therefore, there's a good chance that they're going to let you down at some point in time. Some of you have your hope resting in some result or some outcome that you're looking towards, but maybe it's not going to turn out the way you think it should or the way you need it to. Times we put our hope in all the wrong places. And as a result, you become hopeless. You become hopeless. You become weary. You begin to suffer. You fall victim to that weary world. You become depressed, down, just wandering, confused, lost, no hope, hopeless. It's a miserable, miserable place to be. But because of Christ, we have a thrill of hope. that allows us to rejoice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Man, unswervingly. Man, basically, let's hold on to hope, the hope that we profess with everything that we have. Man, don't ever let go of it. Guard it with your life. Hold on to that hope that we confess, that we profess, right? That we claim. We're going to hold on to that hope regardless of what comes. And we're going to do that because God, who promised to be good to those whose hope is in him, man, he's faithful. He is faithful. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to turn his back on us. He's got us. He is faithful. Therefore, regardless of my circumstance, regardless of the weary world around me and the darkness of the night, man, I'm going to hold on to that hope and never let go. I'm going to guard it with everything that I have. Never let go. I'm going to embrace his truth, right? His promises. I'm going to embrace it. But see, far too often, those of us that profess the name and claim the name of Christ, man, we start letting go of hope. We start letting go a little bit here and there. And we begin to embrace the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, the lies of the enemy. We start falling victim to that when we become hopeless. But see, what we should be doing is the exact opposite, right? We should be holding on to hope with everything we have. We need to let go of the doubt, let go of the fear, let go of the lies and the anxiety, and hold on to hope with everything. Never let it go. Never lose hope. I mean, it breaks my heart when I hear of people who are so hurt, so hopeless, that they make the decision to take their own life. It's heartbreaking. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life, and I hope that you haven't, but I know some have. I've experienced that in my own life, and it is devastating. And man, if they could just hold on to hope, just one more day for that new and glorious morning, that thrill of hope. Don't ever let go. Don't let go of the hope, man. Don't give up. Don't surrender to the fear, to the weary world. Man, hold on to hope because a new day is coming. It's a promise. A new day is coming. And it's amazing what a new day with Christ can bring. So don't give up. Don't let go. Hold on to that hope, that thrill of hope that allows the weary world to rejoice. Let's hold unswervingly to hope, the hope that we profess, because he who promised, God, he is faithful. He's faithful. So a new and glorious morning, right? A new and glorious morning. A new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. It brings the hope to keep going. And finally, a new day with Christ brings the help you're seeking. It brings the help that you're seeking. We're all seeking some type of help right now. I don't care who you are. You're seeking something, some help, some guidance, some wisdom, some discernment, something you're seeking. And a new day with Christ brings that help. Lamentations 3, verse 26 tells us, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." To wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Some of you this morning, you need the salvation of your souls. Man, some of you, maybe you've never stepped over that line of faith and placed your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, and you need that. You need to call out to God to confess and believe and be saved today. But some of you, you've already received that gift of salvation from God. You're a Christ follower, and you need to be saved out of a difficult situation. We're to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And it's amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. A new and glorious morning. A new day with Christ can bring you the help that you're seeking. And we see this throughout the New Testament, throughout Jesus' earthly ministry. We see this. I think of my man Lazarus, right? He's a perfect example of what a day with Christ can do, right? You got Lazarus, right? And for 4 days, he was dead. 4 days. He was so dead that the King James Version said, he stinketh, right? He stinketh. I mean, the dude was dead. But then Jesus shows up. I mean, he looks at the stone, he looks at the grave, and he says, Lazarus, come out. Come out. And sure enough, he walks out. Lazarus walks out. Dead for 4 days, walks out. And I'm pretty sure Lazarus would be the first to tell you, man, it's amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. One day with Christ can make all the difference. There was a woman who for 12 years was suffering with some sort of bleeding issue, right? The scripture says she has a blood and bleeding issue for 12 years. I don't know exactly what it was, but man, I can imagine that there was pain and suffering and embarrassment and shame and rejection that went along with that for 12 years. And then one day Jesus came by and she touched the hem of his garment, and like that she was healed. And I know she would tell you, man, the difference that one day with Christ can make. Right? Then there was this man who for 38 years was unable to walk, couldn't walk. And then one day while he was at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus came by and they struck up a conversation, and Jesus looked at him and said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And after 38 years, I'm not even that old, 38 years this dude couldn't walk, and he stood up and he began to walk. And again, I'd venture to say that he would be the first to say it's amazing what one day with Christ can do. The difference that one day with Christ can make. A new and glorious morning. Some of you, man, you're in a weary world right now. You're struggling. It's a weary world, but I'm telling you, there's a thrill of hope. A thrill of hope that will make your weary world rejoice. There's a new and glorious morning. The sun will rise. And a new day with Christ brings the help that you're seeking. Whatever it is. Again, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage is tanking and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, man, this thing is never going to be what it should be. We're never going to get this thing right. Man, I'm telling you, it's amazing what a difference one day with Christ can make for your marriage, because he is what your marriage needs. And some of you have some physical health issues, or someone you love has some physical or maybe some mental health issues, and man, you're desperate for help. You're seeking help. You're desperate for it. And I'm telling you that we serve a God that is able to heal. He's the great physician. He's a healer. And whether he heals you the way you think you should be healed or they should be healed, or whether he doesn't, if you remain in the presence of him, remain in the presence of Christ, it's amazing what a difference it will make. Just one day. Because it's a new and glorious morning. Man, some of you, you're just going through it. Like, it's just not one specific thing. So you're just going through it right now. And life is kicking your tail. You're just going through it, and it's a weary, weary world. And it's dark. It's dingy, man. You're in the cave screaming, no epidural, right? It's tough. But there's a new and glorious morning with Christ. A new day with Christ can make all the difference. It's a thrill of hope that allows us to rejoice, right? And it's because a new day with Christ brings you exactly what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. Because a new day with Christ gives you the hope to keep going. And a new day with Christ brings you the help that you are seeking. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, as we close, tells us this. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And check this out. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The darkness is nearly over, and the sun will rise again. The darkness will never last. It will never last, because the Son of God is risen. Because he was born into this weary world, right? He was born into this weary world, and now there's a thrill of hope that leads us to rejoice. Because of the Son of God came, we can rejoice. This weary world rejoices because of a new and glorious morning. It's promised, and he's faithful. Let's pray. God, we are so, so incredibly thankful that you sent your Son. God, to live among us, to experience what we experience, to go through what we go through, God. And then to give his life, shed his blood, his perfect blood, give his perfect body, God, for us, so that we could be made right, so that we could be made whole again, so that our sins could be covered and forgiven. God, we're so incredibly thankful. God, may we never forget that. May we never forget that there's hope in him. No matter how dark, no matter how difficult or how ugly things may seem, how hopeless they may seem, God, there's a thrill of hope because of you and because of your Son. We can rejoice. As we continue your prayer, maybe you're here this morning, and that salvation that you need, that you're waiting for, is the salvation of your soul. For whatever reason, maybe you've been just kind of coming and checking out the things and the claims of Christ and checking this whole thing out, but you've just kind of kept God at arm's reach. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never confessed and believed, placing your faith and trust in him. And if that's you this morning, man, I'm telling you, today is that day. Today is the day. Man, he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He sent his Son, died and rose again for you specifically. And scripture says that in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. It's confessing and believing. It's placing your faith and trust in him. So if that's you this morning, and you're ready to give your life to Christ, just to lay it down, doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, doesn't mean you have to be perfect. But you confess that you have flaws. You confess that you're in the need of a Savior and that he is that Savior. And you believe that God, that he's the Son of God and that he died and rose again for you. You confess and believe that. And you'll be made right with him. You'll be made whole again. That void that you constantly fill in your heart, that you've tried to fill with countless number of things, and it's always there, man, that's to be filled by God. Confess and believe. So if that's you this morning, just right there from your seat, or if you feel led, you can come up and talk to one of our leaders. They'll be up here. But you can just come up, or you can sit there in your seat, and you can call out to God. Call out to him to be your Savior, to forgive you, to make you whole again, and to live with you forever. Confess and believe. Maybe you're here this morning and Maybe you're a Christ follower. You've been a Christ follower some time, man, but you forgot about that new and glorious morning. You've placed your hope in other things. You're wandering, lost, confused. Man, it's time to turn back to Him. It's time to remember what a new day with Christ will bring. That He's going to give you and bring you everything you need. That He is your hope. And we're going to hold on to it with everything that we have because He's faithful. And that new day with Him brings the help that we're seeking. That He is our everything. Man, He's our everything. Maybe you just need that reminder. Maybe you need to re-embrace that truth once again. Claim that truth. Celebrate that truth. Thank Him for that truth. Thank Him for the fact that He's in tomorrow, that He's got you. Don't take that for granted. Be thankful for that. Let Him know. Let Him know with your words. Let Him know with your actions. This time we're going to go ahead and kind of in this invitation time we're going to transition into our communion service. So if we have Ken and Roger and Jen, can you come forward?